Session number 8320.
Mr. Bill Davies, Reel 1. Could you tell me something about your life before the outbreak of the First World War, Mr. Davies?
Yes. Now then. Starting where?
Well, where did you go to school?
My dad was an engine driver. And I had three brothers, all older than myself. And we lived in Carmichael Street.
This is at Edgeley, is it?
Still at Edgeley, yes. And I got a job working for a chartered accountant in St. Peter's Gate, Stockport. And I quite enjoyed the work, had a flair for figures, and didn't mind the job.
Had you had any experience of the services? Did you have an OTC at school, or were you interested in joining the army or anything at any time?
No, there were no opportunities really to do it. I was a scout, of course. We were all scouts pretty well, and that was in about 1909 when scouting first started.
So you were an original scout?
I was an early scout, yes, the 6th Stockport.
Did you feel that your scout training was there any sort of military tinge to that? Did you feel it was useful to you?
Yes, definitely. I still signal from scouting days. If I feel a little bit depressed and a bit stiff in my shoulders, I go through A, B, C, D, right through.
The semaphore signal?
Semaphore. No Morse. Morse was a little bit too much for me.
Did you go on camps and things for the scouts?
Yes, we took a ragbone cart full of materials up Wellington Road, right on up to the hills at the back there. And it was one Whit week, and we pushed this ragbone cart with a bell tent, and there were 12 of us, and we slept together in that bell tent, and we were snug as anything. We had no bad weather that Whit week, and we did all our own cooking. Sometimes it was all right and sometimes it wasn't. Our parents came to see us on the Sunday to see that we were all right. And that was my first enjoyable week.
Was there any discipline in the Scouts then? Did it sort of teach you to behave yourself and give you a code of discipline?
Yes, we had a good Scoutmaster. He lived at Bramhall. No, he lived in Edgeley, but he went to the school at Bramhall, that was it. Bramhall High, I suppose. He was a good disciplinarian, and he was about to... we'd be about 17 or 18, I should think. And I don't know, how old would I be? I was still at school. Yes.
Did you keep your connections up with the Scouts when you became older and joined the Chartered Accountants firm?
No. No. I finished with them fairly early on. I hadn't time, actually, because it was all homework and things like that. I went to a school at Manchester. Can't think of what the name of the school now.
No. That's all right. Did you, before the war, while you were sort of working at the Chartered Accountants firm, did you think that a war was likely with Germany?
Yes.
What was
yes,
it?
Yes, I did. Because I once wrote an essay at that night school and it was called The Invasion Scare. And I had it typed out eventually, and I thought then in it would be about 1912 or 13, I should think. And I advocated a stronger navy. We must have a stronger navy. Then, of course, the war. Can I go on now?
Yes, yes. What were you doing when war broke out?
I'd been a cycle ride round Buxton, and then on to near Chatsworth, and then back home again. And coming down, I stopped for a drink. That would be about 7 o'clock at night. And I heard it on the wireless in a public house at Hazel Grove. And then finished off my cycle ride. And we all went down to St. Peter's Gate to make sure that it was so.
What did you feel when you heard war was broke out? Were you pleased? Were you apprehensive?
No.
Did you just not feel anything at all?
Nothing at all. Then, in conversation with another fellow my own age and went to school with, Reggie Skipper, we both decided that we'd enlist. And we went down to Churchgate on the Sunday morning and finally received the shilling. We had a shilling, which was the normal thing, of course, for a new enlisted soldier.
Were there big queues to enlist, or did you just...
No. No, there were not many. About 8 or 9, probably.
Can you remember the date you enlisted?
Yes. War broke out on the 4th of August. Mm. That was on the... I think that was on a Monday. Then we went to... No. I have to put my glasses on now, haven't I? Oh. 17th of August.
17th of August.
Yeah.
What did your parents feel when you enlisted?
Disgusted. Both mother and dad both said the same thing. My brothers as well. They all said I was daft.
Why? Why?
I don't know. I was always proud of my country, I think. I think it was through my scout training as much as anything. I'd got a little bit fed up with accountancy too. I was to have had articles and I hadn't had them. They promised me that I'd get 4 shillings a week. But I was learning all the time. So I was content in a way. And they thought a bit about me, I think. And
so it was a mixture of patriotism and the fact you weren't too happy at work just then.
A little bit, yes.
Why were your parents so upset about it, though? What exactly was the reason that they felt you were an idiot to join up?
Oh, I was the baby of the family. That was it. I was the youngest one, and we were never a military crowd at all. Although I lost 2 brothers in the First War.
They joined up eventually, did they then? They joined up later, did they?
Yes. One was in New Zealand, and he came over and got wounded, of course, and then went back. And New Zealand government looked after him, and finally he died. Then Freddie, he was a professional runner. He won that cup, incidentally, on there. See? 3 years in succession. And He had pneumonia or something like that. I suppose it was flu, and he died. And that only left me with one brother, who was a conscientious objector, I think.
How did you feel about conscientious objectors, especially if your brother was one? What was your attitude to them?
To my brother?
To conscientious objectors, and in particular the brother, who was a bit of a one. Did you admire his stand, or did
No.
you feel he shouldn't have done it?
He shouldn't have done it. No, he should have done his bit. He did a little bit. He went on. They were clearing timber at somewhere in Cheshire, Delamere. And he did quite a lot of work there. He was a lady's hairdresser, actually. You see, he wasn't the type for being a soldier. Not really.
So, when you signed up, what happened immediately after you'd signed up? Had you joined a battalion or a regiment, or had you just joined the army?
No, I hadn't. We went up to Chester, and then we were given our regimental numbers in the square there. I became 11104.
Which regiment was this you joined?
This is the 8th Battalion, the 1st of Kitcheners.
And the name of the regiment?
The Cheshire Regiment.
So you left home straight away to go to Chester?
Yes, yes. And I got accommodation in the warder's quarters at the castle, some of us, we clever ones, you know. And we were very comfortable. We were there for about a fortnight.
Did you have beds and things like that, bunks?
Hmm?
Did you have proper bunks to sleep in, or were you on the floor?
Oh, we were fortunate in the warder's quarters, with spring beds and things like that. We were lucky. But all the hundreds and hundreds of people who'd enlisted about the same time as we had, they slept anywhere. There wasn't room for them.
So you'd landed on your feet. What sort of food did you have during the 2 weeks at Chester Castle?
Very good. I cooked for about 3 mornings and ample bacon, plenty of food. That suited me, you see. But I found that I was getting my clothes get greasy and that didn't do for me. So I joined up with the lads who were marching up and down the Rue D.
What sort of training did you do while you were at Chester Castle?
Only marching and nothing else. When did we get our rifles? Oh yes, we got our rifles at Chester.
Did you have uniforms by then?
Yes, we'd got uniforms, all complete. Then we marched off to Chester and finally got to Salisbury Plain. And then we got stuck into it, really.
I'd like to ask you about the period at Salisbury Plain. Taking the sort of conditions of service first, that we did last time. Where were you billeted at Salisbury Plain?
Parkhouse Camp on Salisbury Plain, not far from Purbright, and we had bell tents, and they were we were quite comfortable.
How many?
About 8 in a bell tent, and our food was good. It was plain.
What sort of food? Can you remember? Do you remember the ingredients, the sort of thing?
Yes. Breakfast was tea, of course. And we had that at about 7 o'clock. And then we had a proper breakfast later. And it was sometimes boiled bacon, sometimes sliced bacon. It was fatty, but we enjoyed it. It was I never saw any. Then later on, for our midday meal, we had invariably lots of stews. And if you were lucky, you got a cap badge. Now, a cap badge, of course, was a good piece of a bone with plenty of meat on it. They were cooked by our own company cook on a little thing like a little engine, as a matter of fact, and they did it very well. Then we had tea, was bread and jam, invariably. Sometimes a bit of cheese. Later on, we got plenty of cheese and plain bread for tea. And sometimes when we'd been out on a route march, we might have stopped somewhere, and then we had perhaps a quarter of a loaf and a good chunk of cheese, which was, we needed it because we'd been doing a lot of marching. We did lots of route marches.
What would you do on a route march? Could you describe how far you went and when you stopped? And
could do. Yes. Perhaps from Pirbright. Oh no! Then we went on to Swindon, and went to a camp there, and we used to march from there up to Liddington Castle, up a hill on the other side. That wasn't so bad. Then we marched as far as Marlborough and through the forest, and we'd sleep the night in the forest at Marlborough and then come march back again. That'd be about, altogether, about 30 miles, I should think.
Did you get regular rests, or did you just march solidly?
Yes, we had good halts. We'd go perhaps for about a mile or 2 miles perhaps, and then we'd have a halt and perhaps 10 minutes rest, and then off again. And it was really enjoyable. Absolutely all right.
Did you used to sing?
Yes. There weren't many songs to sing those in those days, but we did sing. Not a great lot.
You remember any of the particular favourites?
No. I did when I was joined the Royal Welsh. You know, we used to do a lot of singing with the Royal Welsh.
We'll come to that. Yeah. So you had the route marches. What other sort of training did you do?
Oh, musketry. Went to Pirbright, to the guards camp, finally. And we had a musketry courses there. And really, we were really well trained.
How did they train you in musketry?
Individually, by our own sergeants, regular soldiers, who'd been hitched up with us. And then we did a firing exercise. And
how did you do? Were you a good shot?
No, moderate, just moderate. I got away with it anyway.
Did you find the kick of the rifle a bit of a surprise? Or
No, I didn't, because I'd been told what I had to do and prepared for the shock, and it didn't bother me in the least. The only trouble was that I thought I was a little bit short-sighted, and yet I didn't do too badly.
How about bayonet fighting? Were you trained in that at all?
Yes, we had bayonet fighting, which was pretty hectic on dummies, you know, and that was a part I didn't enjoy, really.
Why not? What did you have to do?
Oh, you had to stick the bayonet into the body and then put your foot on the body and pull it out again. And I thought, well, that was a, a little bit. And I thought if it had been a human body, I'd have had a heck of a job to pull it out again.
So you felt a bit squeamish about it?
No.
No?
Oh. No. No, we were all the same. I remember us doing a charge up Liddington, up a hill near Swindon, and we fixed bayonets, the whole battalion, all the 8th Cheshires, that was 1,000 of us, and we ran up that hill as fast as we could, and with our bayonets, were on at the end of our rifles, and we finished up right at the top. At the top of the hill, we walked down, or we marched really, down the hill on the other side then, and there were great big clothes baskets full of fresh bread and chunks of cheese, and plenty of it. And the whole battalion sat down there and rested, and then we marched back again to our camp at Chiseldon Camp near Swindon.
That was your second camp, was it? Because you were
that
two
was the third camp.
Third camp, yeah.
Yes, then.
All
then,
on
then we had the other one. We went to do the musketry at the guards camp at Brookwood. And we slept on the floor there, and we were a platoon to a hut, and we were very comfortable.
Did you do any more of these tactical exercises, you know, pretending advances and things like that?
Oh, yes, we did lots, and night attacks too.
Can you describe some of them? Do you remember any particular sort of thing you used to do?
I found that with night attacks, you had difficulty in getting fellows to realise that it was night time and they'd got to be quiet, otherwise the whole exercise was useless. We were making a very careful reconnaissance, probably, and it wasn't very successful. I didn't think so, but still we went through and finished at about 4 in the morning, and then we had the day off the next day.
Had you been promoted by this time?
I was promoted in I was a sergeant in about the 30th of September 14.
Do you know why you were promoted? Was it just for being a bright lad or any other reason?
Yes, I applied for a commission originally at Chester Castle, before I enlisted, and was turned down because I hadn't sufficient qualifications, and they suggested the people who examined me when I filled my form in. They said, "You'll do well if you go as an ordinary other rank." So, all right, I went, and then had a fellow who had some influence at Chester, and he helped me with filling my form up, my original application for commission, and he let somebody know that I'd applied for a commission, and the result was that I was sort of earmarked, and I was the first one to become a sergeant in September 1914, and I retained that rank right to the end.
As a sergeant, what were your duties? What did it involve, being a sergeant? During the training part mainly,
early on. In the training. Well, discipline, of course, was the main thing, keeping the whole show. My objective was that I had to have the finest and sharpest platoon in the battalion. And I did. And it wasn't by pushing them, but talking to them and being actually part of them.
So you had good relationship with the men, did you?
I never had a fallout any time. Never. Never. I used to take them out and put them on an exercise, and I'd talk to them at a distance, perhaps. They used to like me talking to them. They had a rest. If we saw some officer coming up, snootering round, well, we started work again. And result was that I got real cooperation. It was a pleasure to have them. And I never had an occasion to put a fellow on the peg. You know that. So.
How did you get on with the officers?
They didn't bother me at all. I never had an officer. Oh, yes, I did. I had one officer for a while, Lieutenant Kelly. And then he left us. And he went to be a doctor. And he was quite a nice fellow. And I never had an officer at all, right through the whole of my career. I was a sergeant all the way and in charge of the platoon all the way. Roughly, generally about 49 to 50 men.
How did you get on with your company officers, though?
Oh, very well. Very well. They treated me well.